communication skills. Multicultural communication. Hello, everyone. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello.
We're continuing our course, Communication Skills, and we're talking about multicultural communication. The term multiculturalism appeared at the end of the 60s in Canada and was officially recognized in 1971, in the last decade. And it has to do with the exchange of ideologies, of political practices, of cultures. And multiculturalism is integration, but without assimilation, when everyone remains in their own culture. Do you consider that this is a positive phenomena for development of humanity?
Everything that pushes forward eventually, maybe sometimes not in the best ways, but still it pushes forward.
Well, is it better for people to communicate? For people, would it be better if there was one culture?
No, it's impossible. People are different from different places, from different backgrounds. They themselves.
Well, at least in one country, just one culture, because it's so difficult to maintain all these different cultures.
No, we can't do it. To the contrary, we have to invest in that and to advance in this multicultural kind of movement.
And if we look at multiculturalism, then the main principles of this ideology are as follows. So recognition of the fact that cultural diversity, it enriches a certain society and makes it more viable. Also, a cultural distinction and plurality. And it looks like people by themselves cannot unite based on all these differences. So you need very strict laws supported with the rights and, of course, education. So different cultures, people can't really unite.
We see that the government gradually introduces these kinds of laws that support multicultural.
Yes, and this is very expensive. When this gets into politics, then it becomes manipulated, and we'll talk about it, that even certain minorities start to use it for their own advantage, and then it starts to tear the country apart, who is stronger, who is louder. And we see that in countries where it's more sort of homogenous, when there's one culture, one nation, it is simpler. But what is this pushing us towards, nature? Where is it pushing us?
There's nothing you can do about it. Take Scandinavia, for example. There, they're more or less homogenous, even though that now it's changing.
But not anymore.
Oh, or take France, like it was 40 years ago, and the way it is today, it's night and day.
So we see that it's a natural process, but where is it going?
That our globe is going to be all intermingled, and there's going to be like one general culture that will include in it all the different possible forms of multiculturalism and relationships, and it's going to be fine.
But how for individual, for each person, for their spiritual development, how can such a multicultural ideology help? In what can it help?
It helps to rise above these differences. I studied with students, or I taught students in California. In the University of California. I even have videos from there.
Yeah, it was in Los Angeles.
Right. And I was surprised the way they interact. When I talked about that one's black, one's yellow, someone's white, someone's a Muslim, someone with a David star, they're saying, you know, we don't notice it. They said, we don't notice it. Later on, they'll probably will notice it. Maybe today it changed, but back then, they said, we don't notice it. We got so used to each other. We interact as human beings that all of these external differences, what each of us wears or whatever, they don't stand in the way.
Well, yeah, I can list several advantages of such a society. For example, immigrants are a source of knowledge and skilled labor, very qualified workforce, and new tastes and styles, music and culture, and is a different opportunity to learn different languages, to choose a religion. Everyone can if they want, and certain ability to eliminate racial discrimination. But all this fades away at the moment as soon as there's some extreme situation. We see it all these cultural, scientific things of all these different nations. They get into conflict and all this becomes external. So the question is, what gets in the way? Even when there's education and it's invested billions of dollars into this, still we see what's happening in America, how much they invested into unity.
No, it's all about incorrect education. Nothing will help in this regard.
In few words, what's the mistake?
The mistake is that they're not taught how to connect with one another correctly. They're given freedom in all regards. Each of them thinks that this is the way that they'll find, this is how they'll find a way to come closer to each other, but that's incorrect. Nature has just one way of coming closer to each other. It's when you teach a person how to rise above his own nature and that he prefers to be in connection with the other person above his own ego. You have to teach a person how to do it. He has to exercise, learn. It's something gradual that you introduce gradually.
So not changing the human nature, then there's no other method.
Something that we're coming to today, and we will have to change human nature. Otherwise, we simply won't survive.
All right. So multiculturalism, it's a concept that requires everyone to accept that all cultures are equal and everyone has same right to life.
Depending what cultures, what are they leading to? I don't believe in all of these pretty words. There is no multi in nature altogether. In nature, there's just one upper force, and if we want to become like it, then we'll come to a good common denominator, and if not, to a bad one.
But in nature, there's such diversity that exists.
This diversity in our nature is only and that the strong always wins. But if we want to rise above our human nature of in order not to eat each other up, then to the contrary, it's not the strong that wins, but the good. Only this way we'll be able to do it.
Multiculturalism, it proposes a certain integration, unification of cultures, but without their assimilation. It's what you're saying. Everyone stays in their own culture, and above it, something is built that is common. So that's the right approach?
Yeah.
Everyone can stay in their own culture, but something must unite everyone.
So says Bala Sulam.
Let's continue. We have another question. Multiculturalism, it doesn't consist in parallel existence of different identities, but their interactions. They have mutual transformation. So how do you see this interaction of cultures? And what is their interaction if everybody stays in their own culture and doesn't mix?
No, you can mix, but if you complete each other in a good way.
So what becomes unique? Language, traditions, moral norms? What should remain?
I don't think anything will remain. I think that there won't remain anything specific or special in any of these cultures, or that these cultures will remain altogether. They'll grow out of themselves and become one common human culture. And there won't be like nations, nationalities, and so on, or according to different parts of the world.
So, and what is the actual integration?
That we'll learn how can we come to a common denominator. Why be so different? Why hold on to something which is mine, yours, this, that? Why not just be human beings?
Well, this is how nature created us. We should. You say we should follow the laws of nature.
Oh, what do you mean? The egoistic nature made us so that we're very different and that we hold on to our differences. But if we rise above it, then we'll simply become human beings. We'll feel good and pleasant with each other. We won't notice the differences between us in any way. What's bad about that?
And you write this in your books that to rise to another level of existence, there's another way to exist. How can we believe that if we actually start to cooperate, then we'll exist on this higher level? Because there's no evidence, and even though it's written in some books, do we need to believe this?
You have no way out. No way out for you. Either you accept it or you'll really suffer a lot and will accept it nonetheless, but through suffering.
Why does it have to be so difficult? So not only it has to be against our nature, but also we have to believe this because there's no evidence.
Well, actually, you can depict it that if we will really be able to rise above our particular egoistic nature, each of us, then we will be able to connect above our differences in a common altruistic nature.
Okay, so let's come back to our world. So multiculturalism is a public policy. Is it a breakthrough or is this a failure? Because it seems like people are ready, but the politicians and mass information media is just firing it up.
It has to exist on a certain level of our development, but actually there's no place for multiculturalism. But we have to reach a state. We'll have to understand that we simply have to be human beings without any differences or with as few differences as possible.
But still, you have your taste and I have different tastes, and all this will remain, these differences, right?
It's all habits. That's all there is to it.
We see how our own body, all the organs in our body are so different and diverse. So is this life on a higher level?
Don't relate it to culture. We weren't born in a culture. We acquire it. And therefore,
you always say that diversity should exist. So what specifically, where should diversity be?
Diversity in that we have to give a person the opportunity to advance toward his complete unification with others, complete connection with others. And as a result, what we'll get is, as it says, one language, one family, one society, and everything will be very similar. Precisely because we'll be similar, even though that on the inside we're very different, this is what will give us pleasure.
So the consequences of this ideology actually is in Europe. There's another extreme because people are watching every word, so they're not blamed, that they're not tolerant, or that they're sexist or racist. So in your opinion, is this an attitude towards minorities, is this artificially created society?
Yeah, it's really turned upside down, unacceptable.
And the minority itself, they use it to their advantage.
Yep.
Do you see an end to this, or do you think it'll only increase?
I see that as a result, we will come to a state where everyone will win, not someone over someone else, one part of society over another.
Actually, there's an interesting question that was asked about political correctness and tolerance. If we stop mentioning any kind of words or phrases that even hint of racism, then if this isn't communication between people, then tolerance between people, then this is good. Even though I don't have this relation, but I play it, I act it, because there's these laws, so I'm not doing harm to another. But this game, should it bring us to a more correct state?
Yeah, if we respect each other, then it leads us nonetheless to a correct life, even if we do it in make-believe. Act it out.
So for example, by nature, let's say I'm a racist, but there's a law in the country and I have to abide it, so I can't call a person by a certain name. So we see that beyond this, it doesn't get into our feelings, our consciousness. It all remains externally, and as soon as there's a first opportunity, it all crumbles.
It'll gradually pass.
So this will get corrected.
Yeah.
But you do believe that all these laws, but like political correctness, they should still exist.
Yeah, you have to insert it gradually by these forceful methods, but then people will see that this is how it works.
And from the other side, all these illnesses, we won't be able to make the right diagnosis and come to the root cause of the evil that of racism, for example. So isn't this political correctness just in the way?
No, by correctly working on yourself, you start finding out who you really are.
So internally, I sense this evil nature that I hate others. I'm a racist, but on the other hand, the laws of the country are keeping me in certain frame, so I don't harm others. So you believe that this is good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue. There's a few examples of political correctness when it just has been driven to insanity. For example, artificial intelligence has a white bias. So this machine that has certain queries and it's biased, for example, yeah, towards the whites. The creators of the American animated series The Simpsons, they would ban white actors from voicing non-white characters. In Sydney, a radio station declared that chess is racist because by the rules, white goes first.
Crazy.
And even Hollywood, we see that everything's changing towards the flavor of racial diversity. So you have certain quotas of this culture and this race. So we see that there's no boundaries to this.
The thing is that no one's working on the root of the problem, and that's why they're doing these mechanical external changes that, yeah, we'll have the same amount of Afro-Americans and Europeans. We'll have men and women. We'll do this, we'll do that. Meaning it's purely mechanical and external, so no one will, you know, bug them about it. But what goes on inside them, they don't care, and therefore the world doesn't change.
Yes, so who should determine this? The government, the people?
I think that people should. The government should listen to the opinion of people, to rely on the opinion of the public, and to gradually do it as legislated, as laws.
No, so it'd be interesting to find out your opinion. There is this extreme point of view that some, a few educators of certain ethnic groups are siding with, that specific certain ethnic groups, they want to...
If it's done as an experiment, then probably, but if it's for something else, I don't even know what.
No, simply, if, for example, I have a group of African Americans, and then it's better than in that group if another African American is the teacher. It's just an opinion. Some are believe otherwise. Do you believe there's a difference?
Maybe, I don't know. In our times, it's still significant, but I'm sure that in the future, it's something that will go unnoticed. Who's teaching? Meaning I won't see the color of their skin, their face, nothing. It'll all be, I'll be completely indifferent toward that, so much so that I won't even notice it.
So you would see how much money is invested into the upkeep of multiculturalism and education in U.S. A bank, J.P. Morgan, has promised to invest $30 billion into a program that will fight racial inequality and so on. And the question is, what kind of information will convince a person to accept these ideas, this idea that all are equal, and although everyone's different, the equality is in that love will cover all these transgressions. What kind of information should be given to a person so he understands this?
That this is the law of nature that we have to come to, and the quicker we come to it, the quicker we will absorb the higher world, higher states, will be able to achieve wholeness, completion, will be able to completely fulfill and feel where we are.
But if this is a law of nature, then we should work with scientists, right?
No, scientists don't know anything about this.
Why not? People don't understand what laws of nature are. Scientists, describe certain laws, and then it comes down to us, and then we accept them, and even though many laws we don't even sense, but we believe them, even though scientists do make mistakes.
Unrelated to scientists, meaning the upper state has nothing to do with scientists because it happens inside a person by changing his nature from altruist, from egoistic to altruistic, and this is something that science is not engaged in. It doesn't have the tools to do it.
So to understand this statement that all these transgressions, all these differences, all this, all of this is purposeful. Everyone can understand this, but you're saying that you need to build some kind of love above this. So when a certain specific situation is given to you, then you can't say how to cover it with love. I have one opinion, you have another.
No, the thing is that in one move, you can't acquire yourself. You have to train all the time with friends in a group, in a small society, in which you establish, form these spiritual laws of love the other as yourself.
As I understand, this is a very long process, learning process of education, and then that will slowly come to this more corrected state when, above all these differences, we will be able to unite, meaning love, meaning it's unification.
Okay,
in principle,
so,
in principle, it looks like a person will be able to agree to unite with another with these in communication only if it's advantageous. If it's spiritual, we can call it a higher level of existence. Nothing else can convince a person otherwise.
True.
So he must see this advantage ahead of them.
Well, society can guide him toward it nonetheless.
Or is it enough for a person, this depends on where in the pyramid, to say that you will just have a better life?
No one will believe that.
So something must be higher above that.
A person has to start feeling it in a certain society. Only this way will he be able to direct himself toward a different attitude towards others, to build a relationship of brotherly, of friendliness, up to the point of love, and then he will truly be able to feel a different level of existence.
Now, this is interesting. We talked about this before. A person is ready to give up their life for some future life, or for as he imagines that some revelation of the Creator. But why not unite with others for the sake of this future life? Because it's promised to him in this life, and he's not ready for it in this life.
Because he doesn't feel that it's possible. No one offers him to think that this is really how it is, that nature prepared for us.
And in unification and mutual responsibility, so many are speaking about it. Philosophers, who isn't?
So they say, no one examines it or works on it.
But even if we say, even when it's said that there's some God in the sky and people are believing this.
That's their business, what do they believe in? The main thing is that we're basing ourselves on human nature, that human nature is egoistic. It's accordingly, he builds his world, he plunges into problems, and here comes the wisdom of Kabbalah and says, the problem is, the solution is rising above this world.
Yeah, and people don't believe this.
Don't have to believe. Try and see. It has to be done. Don't believe in anything. You have to try it. That's the only way it works.
No, you're saying yourself that even to try this, this is not just a one-time action.
You start trying, you start seeing that this is how it works, that this is how it's possible to exist altogether in nature, in some larger and larger environment, and this all influences one another. We're doing things that we're performing actions that draw the upper light that changes us, and that way we change.
My last question, if we're sitting in a group on this course, all the people are different, diverse, do you think that on these first few phases we should create diverse groups, or should we organize people based on certain race or ethnicity?
No, could be completely incorrect according to ethnicity or nationality, but to choose them according to the level of their development.
So we something, share by something.
Yeah, for them to be closer, but eventually they'll all even out.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Should we purposely take, like in Los Angeles, they took certain students, you know, one from each different culture. Is it worth to organize similar groups, or just randomly how it happens, not to even pay attention to it? Or should in the beginning they should be similar, and then in future phases different? Because it seems like there's certain difficulties with these communication, these cultures.
Yes and no. On the one hand, the more similar people are, the easier it is for them to reach contact. On the other hand, the more contradicting they are, the more they see the success of their mutual actions.
Thank you very much. This was an episode, a course for communication skills for multicultural communication. Again, thank you, and until next time.